The White House is considering adding one more piece to its IT modernization strategy. The Trump administration is floating a draft executive order focused on, once again, redefining the roles and authorities of agency chief information officers. For his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller got a hold of a copy of that draft EO from December. Jason joins me now in studio with an exclusive look at this draft executive order. And are they really going after this IT role 2 years after FATARA?
2 years after FATARA, nearly 22 years after Clinger-Cohen Act, nearly 15 years after the E-Government Act, nearly, you want me to list every single policy that OMB has put out around CIO authorities?
Tom, since the punch card.
Tom, Mark Forman, the first federal CIO, I'll call him, used to say, are we paving over cow paths? We need to stop doing that. Unfortunately, I get the feeling that this is a paving over of the cow path. This is ground that's well-worn. We know what the problems are. They're systemic problems. And it really, what it comes back down to, Tom, is leadership at the top of the agency. If the leader values the CIO, then the CIO has a seat at the table, can do decision-making. If the leadership of any agency or the deputy secretary doesn't see the value of a CIO, no matter how many executive orders, no matter how many laws, no matter how many policies are signed off, you're still where you were 15, 20, 30 years ago. You know, basically, when you and I first started, this is, again, part of this broad conversation.
What is this White House calling for in this new EO?
So first of all, let's be clear. It's a draft executive order. It may never come to fruition. It may change a whole big deal. But the copy I have from December tells me a couple things. Number one, it talks about IT governance. It says CIOs should be in charge of appointing bureau-level, component-level, subcomponent-level CIOs. So whether it's at...
As opposed to...
The head of that bureau or subcomponent
level.
Got
it. Okay.
Again, be part of that decision approval, not necessarily doing the hiring, but hey, here's our three candidates. Which one do you like best? I like he or she best. Second thing this does is talk about governance. Again, looks at developing an enterprise-wide strategy for technology modernization. The CIO should be in charge of that and should be ensuring that the component levels, subcomponent levels, bureau levels, again, CIOs are implementing that enterprise-wide strategy. This gets back to some of the efforts, I think, this is my guess here, around things like shared services. It gets the things like, are we all moving to one email system, or do we have multiple email systems that still float around, even if it's in the cloud? Tom, I think the biggest piece of this EO, though, according to the people I've talked with and just reading through it, goes back to hiring authorities. This is the one piece where people have said to me, former federal IT executives, this makes a lot of sense. And what this is going to do, if it gets finalized, is give CIOs the authority, direct hire authority, for all IT positions. If you remember back in November, OPM gave agencies direct hire authority for things like cloud and cloud architecture and IT modernization. This would broaden that. There's already direct hire authorities for cybersecurity. So this would go even broader. But it's limited to 25% of the workforce. So it's not the entire IT workforce, but 25%. But it's still a very big deal.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. What reaction have you gotten so far from some of the people you've talked to that have been around the track?
I think the former federal executives who've read this draft EO have said to me, why? What's the point? What's this doing that, as you mentioned, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, FATARA, E-Government Act, Clinger-Cohen hasn't already tried to do or is trying to do? The other thing they point out to me is why not go even further? For instance, one federal executive, former federal executive, said to me, this is only for cabinet-level agencies, but what about agencies that hold a lot of really sensitive data? The Security and Exchange Commission, the Federal Communications Commission, other smaller independent agencies. So many times those independent agencies pick and choose what they want to abide by when it comes to things like FATARA or FISMA or whatever. And I think they're saying, why not just expand it broadly? Another thing that came out to me is cyber risk. That popped up several times. Hey, CIOs are supposed to follow the cyber, in charge of all cyber risk. Where does that leave the CISOs? How does that relate to CISOs and CIOs? And what about data? Where does this relate to chief data officers? You have all these chiefs, but if the CIO is the chief of the chiefs, what does that do to these other people? So I think there's a lot of, it unfortunately, maybe doesn't answer enough questions.
And as we've pointed out also in this space, the original FATARA Act did leave in the existence of bureau and large agency level CIOs.
Correct. Initially.
But did it have anything to say about who should hire them? Or is this really getting in the weeds by the administration?
I think this is more in the weeds by the administration. I think early drafts of FATARA, Daryl Issa, for instance, a congressman from California who initially had written up the initial draft of FATARA, it was called something else back then, wanted to reduce it to one CIO per agency, and there was a lot of pushback from that. Also wanted to give CIOs more authority. I think from a hiring standpoint, I think there was a little bit of pushback from that. So,
and at this point, we don't know whether this EO will be issued or not. It's just sort of circulating to get the feedback.
Correct. And what kind of changes that feedback from the federal IT community would change, how it would change the eventual final piece. There was a rumor, and I'll be very clear, a rumor that this would be released the same time the federal CIO is named. Again, there's a lot of names being floated out there, nothing being confirmed. Nobody really knows anything. I think, you know, if you want to give this White House credit, they really don't leak personnel names very well until they're ready to float those names out there and get reaction. So this is all you know, a lot of we're not sure, but the fact that they do have a draft that someone took the time and thought was important, that's a big step. And as you said in the beginning, you see the pieces of the IT modernization come into place, and I think this is another piece.
And while we have you, Jason, you're also celebrating a little bit of an anniversary of your own. This is the fifth year of the Reporter's Notebook.
Absolutely.
We should call it the Executive Editor's Notebook, but the Notebook.
The Notebook.
Been pretty well received. We get lots of website hits on it. What have been some of the big stories, the popular ones?
You know, Tom, this started as a way, I have all these extra pages in my 8.5 by 11 pad of paper. I said, I'm going to pull some of that out, and now what's really developed into, and I'm very proud of it, is more of analysis, more really looking at the issues and taking time and stuff that I don't think happens enough in the world of journalism. The top stories of 2017 really stood out as those things. The biggest one was DOD and the Common Access Card, changes coming to the Common Access Card. And I think that's really
changes to try to get rid of it.
Well, at least to modernize it, to update it in some way. So it's not just this sometimes arduous card that doesn't work with mobile devices and such. So that was the biggest, most important story of the year, according to what our listeners and our readers clicked on. Another big one was another big theme around the top stories for the Notebook was around IT modernization, the White House's 36-point plan, as well as the last administration's state of federal IT. Those were both big stories. And I'll just throw one more out there that was big this year was around cybersecurity, no surprise, but specifically the Homeland Security Department's Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation CDM program. A lot of interest in that as well. So we have a whole list. The top 10 is right there on federalnewsradio.com. And as the Notebook will continue into the sixth year, I'm excited about it. And you're right. A lot of people do come up to me and give me a lot of praise for it. And I do appreciate that.
Well, chances are if people heard it first, they heard it through Jason Miller.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Thanks. Be sure to check out Jason Miller's current edition of the Notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.